you. Sing it again from the top. Oh, when I look into your holiness, and when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Think about this now, church. And when I found the joy of reaching your heart, oh, and when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. Hallelujah, I worship you. Worship in church. I worship you. Oh, the reason I live is to worship you. I worship you. Worship you, and the reason I live. Let's sing the verse, the chorus again, rather. I worship you, sing it now. And I worship you. And I live is to worship you, and I worship you, oh my Lord, I worship you. Oh, the reason I lovely. Amen. That's the reason we live, saints. I love that song. Amen. Just to draw close to God and worship Him. Wouldn't it be lovely just to sit in His presence day after day and just absorb everything that He has to teach us? Amen. That's my heart's desire, as the psalmist David said, to just sit at His feet and to dwell daily in His temple. Amen. Why don't we just worship some more. Like to sing that song, Worthy is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, musicians. I know I sing this song a lot, but it means so much to me, and the words just really speak to my heart. Amen. And just express the thanks that we have for what God did in our lives. Amen. And I think this song says it best. So if you would sing it with me. Thank you for the cross, Lord. You paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came, you gave amazing grace. Thank you for this love, oh Lord. Thank you for those wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know, your forgiveness and embrace. And worthy is the Lamb, seated on the throne. We is the Lamb. Thank you for the cross, oh Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. Come on, let's worship Him together, church. So thankful. Oh, hallelujah. The nail pierced hands and wash me. Oh, now all I know, your forgiveness. Could you put your hands together for the Lord? My, but He's so worthy. Amen, amen. I bless your name. I bless your name. Come on, let's give Him honor now. I give you honor. I give you prisoner's chain, ended with bleeding child. Oh, Paul and Silas, pray that night. Break those chains today. Oh, yes. And they were free. Sing it now. I bless your name. I bless your name. We give you honor, Lord. Out. If you
Church and lift him up. We give you honor. Bless your name, Lord. Yes, and I bless your name. I bless your name. Oh, and I give you honor, Lord. I give you praise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, he is worthy to be praised and adored. And so we lift up holy hands in one accord. And we sing, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name. Oh, he is worthy and adored, and so we lift our hands. All in one accord, singing, blessed be the name. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Once again, with all your heart, oh, blessed be the name. Oh, he is worthy. Adored, and so we lift him up, all in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Open eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Well, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Yes, I want to see you. to see you. Yes, I want to see you. Yes, I do. I want to see you. See you now. High and lifted up, yes. Shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. I pray that He opens our eyes this morning, Lord. I pray that You would just move upon the scene and open our eyes, God, that we could see You in all of Your glory. Amen. Speak to our hearts, I pray, Lord. Amen. Let's just go to the Lord and take our needs before Him in prayer. I'd like to ask Brother Sam Britton to be prepared to pray over these special needs today. I have a special need Brother Johnny has presented for the Brother Richard and Sister Mary Smith. Says she needs help to recover, to use her left side so she can walk again. Amen. We're always remembering them in prayer, but we'll focus upon this need that they have, Lord. God would grant a healing touch to Sister Mary Smith. She's had a really tough time, and she's always on her heart, so we're going to remember that special prayer. Prayer request there. And also I have a special prayer request for Lincoln, who is having a severe nerve reaction to a sunburn issue, and it's just very unbearable. He's having a lot of discomfort. If you could pray for Brother Lincoln Clayville, that's from the Clayville family. So we're going to remember that special need in prayer. And Sister Megan Buchanan has a special need. A close friend of hers, Emily, dealing with Hodgkin's lymphoma stage 2. I think she's expecting full recovery, but we want to hold that very special need up in prayer for a dear friend. Amen. And also, if you'd keep upon your heart Sister Angela Pritchard's brother, that very special need, we've been praying for that for a little while now, and we just need God to move upon the scene. Amen. Have a breakthrough for them. Amen. Do you have unspoken prayer requests by the uplifted hand? God knows your need, friend, and we're going to pray with you today. So if you'll just hold those on your heart.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, the great creator that you are, Lord. Lord, the great healer. Lord, as I lay my hands on these requests, Father, Lord, all the ones that need healing, Lord. Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you would go be with them, Lord. Lord, we do know, Lord, that Lord, all the sickness, Lord, all the diseases, Lord, does not change, Lord, what you said in your word, Lord. Lord, and by your stripes we are healed, Lord. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to be with each individual, Lord. Lord, that's not feeling well, Lord, whether it be physically, Lord, whether it be emotionally. Lord, you're a great healer, Lord. And Lord, that's who we're calling on today, Father. Lord, to the left of me, Lord, I think of Brother Keith. Lord, I ask you, Lord, to continue to touch his body, Lord. Lord, at times, Lord, I don't know how to pray for Brother Keith. But Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you just have your will. Lord, we know, Lord, that your will is perfect, Lord. And Lord, for this service today, Lord, as your word comes forth, Lord, speak to each individual heart, Lord. Lord, we don't know, Lord, this may be our last service. Lord, either whatever the circumstances may be, Lord, whatever we need, Lord, you're able, Lord, to give it to us, Lord. Lord, use the minister's mouth, Lord. Lord, just to speak to us. Father, I love you, Lord, and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You can have your seats. I do apologize for keeping you standing so long. I appreciate your fervor and your worship and your praise. It's such a blessing to hear those things. I have a couple song specials today, and we'll just want to make some time for those. If Brother Earl and Sister Jane would make their way forward. And as they're doing that, we'll just sing a little song together as they make ready. Let's just sing that little song, "I Just Want to Be Where You Are," key of G musicians, as they're setting up there. And I just want to be where you are, oh, dwelling daily in your presence. And I don't want to worship from afar. Oh, draw me near to where you are. Oh, I just want to be where you are, in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you.
This is a song I think everybody knows, but it's still a good song.
A song from the heart. Please join us.
Trust him. Amen. Amen. I've learned to trust him over the years. Amen. He's been so good to me. Man, Joe, if you'd make your way, we have Joe Cockman has a special for us. And while he's getting prepared, why don't we just continue singing that song we were singing before playing there, Sister Becky. I just want to be where you are, oh, dwelling daily in your presence. And I don't want to worship from afar. Yes, draw me near to where you are. Oh, I just want to be where you are, and in your dwelling place forever. Take me to the place where you are. I just want to be with you. I want to be where you are, dwelling in your presence, feasting at your table, surrounded by your glory. And in your presence, Lord, that's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with you.
So unworthy, cold and alone, in search of an answer to lead me home. Bundled in pain, thought nobody knew. Then he called me by name and said, I know you. And I still love you.
Lord, you.
all we need, saints. One day we'll realize that all the life's cares and things we put ourselves through, to be honest with you, and he's really and truly all that we need. Beautiful song. Thank you, Joe and sister there. That was wonderful. Why don't we stand together, and I'm going to ask the deacons if they'll make their way to the front, and we're going to continue our worship and praise and tithing and offering. Amen. As the scripture teaches us, amen, it all belongs to him, amen, but we acknowledge that and we give back to him what he asks of us, amen. And we're going to sing that song as our pastor makes his way. What a wonderful name it is, amen. Brother Ethan, if you would.
Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. We just thank you for this time. Lord, we just ask that you come down into this service, Lord, speak to every heart. Ask you to bless this offering. Let it be for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing together. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought a heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater, and what could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is, nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. The bridge now. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, it silenced the boast of sin and grace. Where the heavens are roaring, the praise of your glory, before you are raised to life again, and you have no about it. Powerful name it is, the name of. Sing, death could not hold you, death could not hold you, the veil tore before you, yet silenced the boast of sin and grave. Raised to life again. You have no
The Lord. Let's look to Him in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful we can turn to You, Lord. We're so thankful that we can knock on Your door and You will answer. We're so grateful, Lord Jesus, that You taught us to ask and we would receive. And now we cast all of our cares upon You, Lord, because we know You care for us. Have Your way, Lord Jesus, in the midst of Your people today, and may nothing in our lives, Lord, hinder the moving of the Holy Spirit. Forgive us, Lord, as we stand here today, Lord, entirely dependent upon You. We love You with all of our heart, and we ask, Lord Jesus, that You would just move in our midst today. Take the word, I pray. This is Your word, it's Your message, Lord, and these are Your people, and I pray You'd bring the two together, that, Lord, You might place the word in our hearts, deep within our hearts, that they might, those words might grow and become great trees of strength, Lord, in our lives. Have Your way, we pray. We commit the day into Your hands. All of our worship, all of our praise we give to You because You deserve it all. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing one more little chorus. This is Your house. And let's just sing this before we begin this morning.
Father, come and dwell. Yes, this is Your house. Oh, holy house of prayer, where the lost and the lonely breathe their breath.
The Lord. Shake hands with somebody close to you and say, God bless you, pilgrim. You may be seated. Musicians, we're going to let you take your place this morning here. And we welcome all of you to the house of the Lord today. It's certainly good, a good day to serve Him, good day to be saved, and certainly a good season to know you're on the Lord's side. And we welcome all of you today, and may the Lord richly bless you. Got a couple of things I just want to share with you this morning before we begin, and didn't mention this morning the Ivies are still in Europe, and we certainly miss them and trust that the Lord will undertake for them and bring them back safely. Sister Rebecca is going to be staying for a little while over there on an immersion program, an exchange, and so we certainly do miss them. July 16th is John Anthony Harwell's birthday. And so we wish him a happy birthday. And it's also the Smiths' anniversary, Richard and Mary Smith. And may the Lord bless them. I know they're listening today. July 17th is Sister Jessica Pugh's birthday, right? Sister Jessica, God bless you. And July 18th is the Munch's anniversary, right?
Yes, sir.
How many years?
33.
33 years.
33 God. Wonderful years.
33 wonderful years. You got it, Brother Munch. You got it. You got it. Appreciate that. Appreciate the special this morning. Also, it's July 18th, is Sister Sheba Javed's birthday in New York. Well, we are excited today to have Brother Aaron back, Aaron Nengamaza. And I put out the word yesterday that the eagle had landed back in the country. Sister Becky, would you take that little girl and let Aaron come on up here and just greet the folks here this morning? Jeremy, plug me in here. And we're going to let Brother Aaron give a little more extended report later on. But this morning, we just want to have him greet the church and appreciate the good work, good reports that I've heard already, and appreciate his labors overseas. Aaron, good to have you back.
Good to be back. God bless you, church. Firstly, thank you so much for your prayers, your support, and checking on us, checking on my wife and the family. It certainly was the longest period I've been gone. I did not intend to be that long, but it was just, you know, one thing after the other. But we certainly had a wonderful time in the Lord in Tanzania, Ethiopia, South Africa, Zimbabwe. So the saints over there, they thank you so much for your help and your support and your prayers and your friendship and Brother Barry and all the work that's happening in that part of the world. And whilst on this other side, it doesn't seem like a lot is happening, but over there, there's just a lot. Like, for example, in a country of Ethiopia, it's a country that is almost half of the United States in terms of population. But, you know, the message is still new. It's, you know, what we consider as virgin land, just so much work to be done. And the little group there, they are so much on fire. They love the Lord. They are sending out missionaries, and there's just a lot happening there. And one other thing is that, you know, when you go over there, it also renews your faith when you see some of the things that you take here for granted, and you realize that we are really a privileged people. I know one instance when we had like an evening service in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, there was literally just one car parked outside, and that was the pastor's wife's car. So it was raining, we finished late, and then when we were about to leave, it was late and it was raining, it was dark, there was no electricity, nothing. So there were believers who had come from a very long distance, maybe 10 miles at least. I can't remember, but it was long, maybe 50 miles, I don't know. So because it was raining, they said, well, we have no way of taking them back. They said, hey, don't worry, we're going to be sleeping in the church. And they were very happy, you know. I said, ah, great, there should be beds somewhere in the church. They said, no, they just sleep on the floor and they're good. So that's just, you know, one example of things that you see when you're over there. But God bless you, and continue to pray for the saints there. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Appreciate that. July 23rd, registration opens for the men's meeting. And that will be the general registration for everybody who wants to attend. Because we have limited attendance there, limited space, we have to be careful and open that up for everybody, so we're letting folks know that that will be the general registration. Now, after church today, I want to meet with all the brothers. We just need just a couple of minutes. There's two things that I want to just share with you, and it's easier to do it here when we're all together. So immediately after church, you brothers can hang here, and we'll just take a couple of minutes with you there if that would be okay. I wanted to mention also that I'll leave this here. I wanted to mention also my brother, my natural brother Mark, has to have a what's called a cardioversion done tomorrow on his heart, where they sedate him, shock him to get back in the correct sinus rhythm again. And he's had some problems ongoing with his heart. And if you don't mind just remembering that, it's tomorrow morning early. And we would appreciate that. I wanted to mention this morning as well that we are blessed with some new faces that are here in the church, and we're thankful for that. And I wanted to officially this morning welcome Michaela Sheffield, who's here in the back over here today, and she's decided to make HBT her home. Sister Michaela, we are blessed and honored to have you with us, and may God richly bless you. Welcome to HBT. Brother Sam would like to have a little word with the church this morning, and we appreciate Brother Sam taking a moment to do this. God bless you, Sam.
God bless you guys. I wrote some things down, so if I get emotional, forgive me. A little bit over about a week before my son passed away, I was sitting right there in that chair, and this thought came to me, how would the church react if my son died? And I kept throwing that thought just out of my mind because I didn't know. I didn't know, is it from God or is it from Satan? I had no clue. And then when I got that phone call that night, God took me back to that thought, and I knew that that was the Lord preparing me, you know, for the death of my son. So the church reacted in a way that showed the true love of Christ. My family and I, we are so grateful, first of all, for every prayer that was prayed for my son.
Amen.
God answered every prayer. It might not have been in the way that I wanted it, but I believe with all my heart, he answered every prayer. We know that God laid such a burden on this church for our son Eli, and we're so humbled by the compassion, love, and grace that all of you guys extended to him. We are so grateful for every meal that was prepared, for every meal that was served, for all the cleaning that was done, for all the offerings, the text, and the phone calls. Your love and care was also a witness to our friends and family of how you guys served us. It showed the love of God for them, to them. It will never be forgotten. I don't have the words to express the overwhelming gratitude to the church and each one of you, how we feel. God knew what he was doing when he brought my family to this church.
Amen.
It was for such a time as this. Brother Barry, the deacons, Brother Aaron, everybody here, I just got to say thank you. I cannot thank you guys enough. Just keep us in your prayers.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Sam. Appreciate that. Appreciate that very much. We appreciate the Britton family and all they've been through. And I'll tell you, I know it's God's grace to us when we go through times like that, for sure, because it's not under our own power and in our own strength do we make it through those difficult valleys. So we appreciate the Britons very much and continue to pray for you guys. Let's stand to our feet this morning, and if you will, take your Bible. And appreciate the response and the service Wednesday night. And I'd like to just carry on the thought that we were working on last Sunday. And this is not the easiest subject to tackle, but let's just trust the Lord today. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to read a couple of verses here. This is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, which has become a little more important to me, and I trust to you. Matthew chapter 7. When you have it, say amen. If you love your Bible, say, I love my Bible. Amen. Verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. In the original writing of that text, in the Greek, you could read it this way. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that want it. And may God add his blessing this morning. You may be seated. Now, we're going to just talk on this just very briefly. I'm going to reach back a little bit, and then we're going to come back to this text again. So hold on to your Bible, and we're going to look at a couple of key places here this morning. In questions and answers, someone says to Brother Branham, is not Isaiah's meaning of the prophecy, the beating of the swords into plowshares, to come to pass during the thousand-year reign of Christ in the millennium? And rather than something that man can bring, as so many modern religionists tell us. In other words, they're worried about the timing of this particular verse. When is it going to be fulfilled? Isn't that reserved for the millennium? Or is that going to be now? Are we going to have this kind of unified cultural peace among all mankind here now? And Brother Branham is confirming to them, you're exactly right. That'll bring forth the millennial reign. So this is going to happen in the millennium, not on this side here prior to that 1,000 years. And these modernistic religious cults that's been around trying to educate people into the kingdom of God, that'll be when God himself will come in the supernatural being, in supernatural power to a supernatural believing people, and will receive a supernatural power that will mold sons of God's sons. He said, you're exactly right. This is when this is going to happen. So this is going to take place in the right time. And I just want to say that in this little preamble, and I want you to listen to the preamble here this morning, the way Brother Branham placed scriptures for us is really important now, because there are some people who are expecting the wrong things to happen here that were going to happen beyond the change of our bodies. And then there are some things that are supposed to happen here that people have put off to a later time. And it's important that we get that right. And I thank God for a prophet, because the word comes to a prophet and the prophet helps us understand the placing of Scripture and the timing of Scripture. And there's always been a great controversy about whether there's a 7-year millennium or a 3.5 year, or sorry, 7-year tribulation or a 3.5 year tribulation and so on. And Brother Branham's very careful. He's very consistent in his teaching about those things. So, you know, it lines up. It makes sense. And I'm really glad for that insight that God will give through a prophet, because it helps us to understand exactly where we are. And even though that might be contrary to the current way of thinking and the current mindset that's in the religious world, Brother Branham describes these folks as cultsy because they're trying to educate people into the kingdom of God. They're trying to instruct people into understanding the mind of God for this particular time and place. And you can't do that. Now, you may not think that's important, but you cannot educate people into a true understanding of the mind of Christ. You can't do that. Now, that doesn't mean that the devil doesn't try, but I'm telling you, you can't do that. So follow me now. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, and this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. There are things that are going to be shaken, and there are things that cannot be shaken. And whatever it is that God has for us, I want it to be something inside me that cannot be shaken. And I know that I can't produce that and I can't give that to somebody. That's something that God births in you. And the kingdom of God is within us, right? Jesus taught us that. And so he says, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and fear. One of the reasons why we feel so frustrated about this life, especially now in this life, is because we live in a world that is being shaken. And it's easily put out of order. It's easily put out of sync. There are things that we try to line up. We try to get our ducks, line them up, and then all of a sudden our ducks get out of line. And we're back lining up our ducks again, right? Because we want to have our ducks in a row. And in this world, that's the way it is, and that becomes very frustrating for us. Like, You may be concerned about your health, and then all of a sudden something will happen and it'll throw your health out of order. Or you may have your finances in order, and all of a sudden something will happen and your finances go out of order, right? There's no consistency in this life. There's no stability, in a sense, in this life. And it becomes frustrating. Now, take that into a higher, more serious level where we, our spiritual life, and you look at the world around us and the nations around us, and it would be really nice if things just settle down and, we're the same day after day after day, but we're not living in a world anymore like that. Now the world is coming out of order. It's falling apart. There's instability in the world around us here, and that makes us more unsettled, humanly speaking. It makes us more unsettled all the time. But I want you to know this, that's the negative side of this. The positive side of this is that the frustration takes place because in our hearts we have a desire for a world that is stable. We have a longing for a world, a dimension that has peace in it and a peace uninterrupted. Can you say amen? And I believe that God is calling to us through this message and through the Word of God. He's calling to us to go to that kingdom. One day we will go to that place. And there's something in me that's pulling me to that place. And that stability is something I desire. That order is something I desire. But I know as the longer I go, that will not happen here. It'll happen there. And so it's frustrating for us to try to keep everything in order and keep everything under control here. You have something in your hand and then something happens the next day, you don't have it in your hand. Like Brother Sam talking about his son. You know, there's some things that happen to us that we don't expect, we don't anticipate, but they happen anyway. Because we live in a world that can be disordered. It can be overthrown. It can be, the order of things can be messed up, right? And so Paul is telling us here that there is a shaking that goes on. And I believe we're certainly living in a time when that shaking has taken place here. But he said, in all of that, he said, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So don't worry. God has given us grace for this life while calling us to that life. He's given us grace for this life on the way to that life. He's given us grace to live in this kingdom while we're on our way to that kingdom. And in that kingdom, you won't need to have that grace because you live in a kingdom that cannot be overthrown. And I'm glad I have that in my life. I'm glad I have that anchor in my life because it's actually stronger than the pull of this kingdom in this world. It's pulling me to a kingdom that cannot be shaken and overthrown. Now, follow this. Here's the Common Jewish Bible. And this phrase, one more time, this is the literal translation here, one more time, makes clear that the things that are shaken, things shaken are removed since they are created things, so that things not shaken may remain. So at the end of the day, the things that are going to remain are the things that God has made. And therefore, since we have received an unshakable kingdom, let us have grace through which we may offer service that will please God with reverence and fear. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire. Whenever you see that phrase consuming fire in the Bible, it means that there's jealousy involved. And so God is a jealous God. We understand that, right? He doesn't want us to serve multiple gods. He said, I am God and I'm God alone. There are no other gods, and you should have no other gods before you. And so therefore, he wants us, he gives us grace that we might serve him in a way with reverence and fear that glorifies him, that honors him. And in a sense, it honors him even though we are living in bodies that are falling apart and we live in a world that's falling apart, yet we still give glory and honor to God. Can you say amen? You would not be able to live in a way that's pleasing to God and give him glory unless God gave you grace to do that. And hold on, it will change. One day it will change because everything changes until we get to that kingdom. And in that kingdom, we'll have an eternal peace. It'll be a different setup altogether. Now again, we're in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, everything that holds you back, everything that pulls you down, and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The author is the originator. He's the one who called us, He's the one who's given us the understanding we have. He's the one that's given us the faith we have. He's the author of who we are, who we really are, right? Because who we really are didn't begin here. It didn't begin when you realized that you were a Christian and not just a sinner, right? He knew you before the foundation of the world, right? Stay with me. And so he's the author. He's the originator. He's the beginning. He's your origin, if you like. And if he's your origin, he's also your destiny. And it says that he's the author and the finisher. And on the bottom there, I've mentioned this to you before. That's why I'm going fast here. The finisher means the state of the more intelligent. He's able to produce moral and spiritual perfection in us. So therefore, the one who called us and the one who started us on this road, he's also the one that is able to bring us to the place of perfection. He's the author and the finisher. Do you believe that? Now, we have to go through a whole bunch of stuff between those two words, right? The author, the beginning, and the finisher, which is the completer, that completion will involve all kinds of things that happen to us in the middle. We go through valleys. We go through mountaintop experiences. We go through successes. We go through failures. We have disappointments in life. We have disappointments in relationships. We have disappointments in our natural ambitions and our jobs and everything else. There are things that are working well, everything is clicking right, and then it isn't. And we go through all those kinds of things. But God knows how to make all of that work together for good to them that love God and to bring us out to a place where he wants us to be at the end of the road. Because he is the more intelligent, if you like. He's the one that knows the end from the beginning. He knows what's best. We might be praying for the wrong thing, but the Holy Spirit knows the will of God and the mind of God, and he knows exactly where you need to be. He knows exactly what you need to have. He knows exactly what you need to lay down. And he knows exactly how to get it out of your hand if you don't lay it down. He knows exactly how to deal with us, right? God knew exactly what we had need of in this last day, and I believe that's why he reserved this message for us in the last day. It's not an ordinary message. I believe that God knew exactly what we had need of even before we came on this earth, because God prophesied through Malachi long before any of us got here in the days of Malachi, right? God said that back in the Old Testament, hundreds of years before Jesus put his foot on the earth. God said, I'm going to send those people in the last day, I'm going to send them a message. And that message will actually turn their hearts back to the faith of the fathers. And that message will be powerful enough to not only bring them to a place of perfection, but it'll bring them to the kingdom where they belong. It'll do all of these things that I need to accomplish in the last day. And I have a prophet reserved to bring that message in the last day. Just like Paul was sent to bring a message to establish the church in the early days, now we are living at the capstone of all of that. In the last days. How many are thankful? Amen. All right. Now, having said that, let's follow through and say, Brother Bram said, in studying Scripture, if we start something here and it doesn't come out right, you got to come back because you'll never figure it out with your mind. This is not an intellectual process. We just found out by Scripture that there's no man in heaven beneath the earth, ever was, ever will be, that can do it. The Lamb alone can do it. What's he talking about? It's revealing or making known his word. So the seminary explanation, whatever it might be, is just nothing. It takes the Lamb to reveal the book. It takes the Lamb to reveal the book. There's no way you can do it, and there's no way I can do it. Now watch. There's a difference between an explanation and a revelation. An explanation is a statement or account that makes something clear. You ever had a complex math problem in school and the teacher takes the time to explain it and it makes it clear, right? You know, that's a good thing. For example, intentional pilot error was the explanation for the Air India plane crash just recently. The guy turned off the fuel. Hello? That kind of makes sense. I mean, it's a tragedy by any stretch of the imagination, but now we have an explanation. Now, we don't have the full explanation because we don't know whether that was accidental or intentional and so forth. There's a lot of things still we don't know about that, but that's why that plane just crashed In India, everybody, of course, immediately blamed Boeing for building a faulty plane, but it wasn't Boeing's fault at all. It was a switch that somebody, one of the pilots clicked to turn the fuel off to the engines. And so naturally, if your plane is in the air, it's going to go down if there's no fuel. Aha. So that's an explanation of why the crash occurred. It's a statement or account that makes something clear. Now, a revelation, follow me now, a revelation, when God reveals something to a person, it's often referred to as divine revelation or revelation, and this term encompasses the process by which God makes known previously hidden and unknown truths. Now, I will tell you something, whether anyone may dislike this or like it, doesn't really matter. The imparting of revelation is entirely God's right. Amen. It's God's decision to reveal anything. And if you have a revelation of anything in your life, it is because God gave it to you. Amen. Now, if I explain the Bible to you, I think that's not a bad thing that you would have an understanding of it, but it's a different thing when we go to the next level and God reveals what's explained to you, because then it does not depend on the strength of the explanation. Because if I can explain something, you know, someone else can explain it maybe a little differently. But when you have a revelation, it doesn't really matter what anybody says. Hey, heavens and earth can pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Amen. And if you've got that word revealed in your heart, that's a solid thing. That's a good thing. Yeah. And that's why Brother Branham taught us that you should pray for revelation more than anything else. Because that in you cannot be shaken. That revelation in you cannot be shaken. And that's a good thing. Now, Brother Branham says, and I want to just be real clear, because you know, there's a lot of pressure that's put out there today, and there's a lot of statements that are being made that all you need to do is press play and obey. Now, I did a search, because I search everything. And I did a search, and I searched every single one of Brother Branham's sermons, and he never ever told us to press play. I don't have a problem with pressing play if Brother Branham had taught us to do that, but he never did. And when you say press play and obey, that implies that if we don't press play according to the program, then we are disobeying. And I don't like to be considered a disobedient believer. Are you okay? Are you with me? Now, for me, I'm a reader. I like to read. I read the message continually. I read it on screen. I read it in my books. I read it on screen more now than on my books, because my books are falling apart. I have them marked up and they're falling apart, and I actually don't like to take them out and you know, use them too much, because I want to keep them. They're precious to me, and I want to keep them. But I read the message continually. I do listen to the message. And I don't want you to get the wrong impression. If you're asking me, Brother Barry, should I listen to the tapes? Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely. But listen, you should listen to the tapes because you have a desire, not because you have an order. Amen. Or not because someone else says you should. You should listen to him because you feel led to listen to him. You have a desire to listen to him and to hear that voice. So let's say what the tapes say, okay? Let's say what Brother Branham said. Not for one moment do I bring a message to the people that they may follow me or join my church or start some fellowship and organization. Not for one minute do I want you to think of this, that this is what I'm trying to do. I don't want you to misinterpret my motives at all. He says, I have never done that and will not do that now. I have no interest in those things, but I do have an interest in the things of God and people, And if I can accomplish just one thing, I will be satisfied. Pause. Revelation 10:7 says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, doesn't it? We're not there because God took that seventh angel home. Are we okay? But we are in Revelation 10:8-11, which is that John took the book and ate the same book, prophesied again. Let me ask you the question, what then is our message? Is our message to create an organization? Is our message then that we want to have everybody play the same tape on the same day? Is our message that we want to build statues and mementos to Brother Branham, the man? Hey, I appreciate Brother Branham, and I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying here. But I believe that if Brother Branham was standing here today, if he was standing here today, he would not be telling us, follow me. I think he'd be saying, I had to decrease that Christ must increase. And I believe he'd be telling us, follow Christ. So what is our message? Our message should be the same as this. Not to create a message that causes people to look to Brother Branham and look to him and idolize him and so forth. He says, I have no interest in those things, but I have an interest in God. So what is he interested in? Here it is. These are his words, all right? Amen. That one thing. If I can accomplish just one thing, I'll be satisfied. And that one thing is to see established a true spiritual relationship between God and Brother Branham? No. Between us and Brother Branham? No. The one truth, the one thing that I want to see established is a true spiritual relationship between God and men, wherein men become new creations in Christ, filled with His Spirit, and live according to His Word. So in other words, I believe with all my heart that there should be a bride and Christ and nothing in between. Because when you put something in between, now you have an idol. I grew up in a Catholic church where Mary was right here. Between Christ and us, Mary was right here. And we had to pray to Mary. We had to go through Mary because they taught us that Mary was the softer one and she could get things done that we couldn't get done in appealing to Christ because he was a righteous judge. And so therefore, you had to go through Mary. And Mary wound up being an idol to Catholics. And she still is. Sorry, but she still is. That denominational spirit still exists. Because spirits don't die. All right, here's what he says. We have no thought coming. We must just believe what he says. Well, I can't explain it. You don't know God by intellectual conception. You don't know God by intellectual conception. You know God by faith is the only way you can know how to believe God. You can't explain it. No one can. Nobody can explain God. God is without finding out by explanation. So what would you rather have? A good explanation or a revelation? If I can't know God by explanation, then God give me a revelation. You got to believe him. It wouldn't be a faith no more. You got to believe it. So what does it mean then when we hear the scripture that says it'll be so close, it'll deceive the very elect? In the last days. You would have to wonder. I mean, and I want you to think. That's why this little series is not such an easy thing to talk about. But I feel like my job is to give you the whole counsel of God. Amen. And to warn you about things that creep in and things that exist here. Brother Branham refers to the mark of the beast and the seal of the spirit and so forth in the same way. And he said, the great subject that we are approaching has certainly caused some great controversy. And I believe it's such a great vital part of the scripture, we should not leave any of it out. So his approach to the controversial was not to avoid it, but rather to wade into it that people might have a revelation and not just an explanation of what he thinks. Are we okay? So you understand that preamble I just did was very important. All right. Now, Brother Branham says, I believe that we're on the threshold of stepping into another veil yonder. I'm going to switch gears now in a moment. But I believe with all my heart, and this is 1955, that we're on the threshold of stepping into another veil yonder when the greater mysteries of God will be made known to the church. Now, he was right, but back then he was limited in what he knew that would look like, or limited in how that would actually unfold. But Brother Branham, being a man of God and seeing the patterns of God and having conversations with this angel that accompanied him, I believe he knew that God was not just into creating a revival in the last day, but now he actually had access to a prophet on the earth to whom he could send his word. And because he had a prophet on the earth and could, the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, he could say things that had not been said to the church in thousands of years. And had the opportunity to tie together all these loose ends that had been hanging and dangling over the last 2,000 years. Mysteries that were spoken about but never fully revealed. And things that happened through the ages that now he was going to clarify. He's going to show that this scripture applied to this one over here and bring those loose ends all together. The ministry of loose ends, that's the way he described it. That there's a scripture over here that seems to pertain to the last day, and there's another one over here that definitely does pertain to the last day. How do they go together? And then he brings those things together and gives us that clear understanding of things. And so God's got the opportunity now to do that. So it's not going to be just the same kind of a revival, a million more in 44, and we're just filling up, you know, denominational churches here. That's not what God's doing. What God is doing is concluding all of the mystery of God. He's gathering a bride because now he wants to go the next step of taking that bride out of here. And that word has got to be so great, it will actually change your body. How many would agree the word is becoming greater to you now than, say, a year ago? I talked to her brother, and this brother had been through a lot of trouble in his church. He's a pastor today, lives in another country, but he'd been through a lot of trouble in his church and a lot of goings on, people coming and going, and there's a whole lot of background and history and so forth. But I asked him, I said, I haven't talked to you in a while. I said, how are things going? He said, I can just tell you this, Brother Barry. He said, lately, the word has been so rich and so real and so sweet. He said, it's just been opening up. He said, it's like we can't wait to come to church. Amen. And he said, how are things with you? And I said, just read your own email to me. And that's exactly how I feel about going to church these days. Can't wait, because God is just speaking to us so personally. It seems like, and the word is becoming so more real and more precious to us. How many of you would agree? Amen. It doesn't hurt to say amen at times like that. I mean, it helps me. But now watch what he says. He says, Satan will put out many a false runner, but just lay it aside. He'll put a scarecrow out there. Lay it aside. Remember, it's only signifying that something real is going to take place when you see it. When you see the false and the abundance of the false and the false running all over creation, that's a sign that there's something real that's coming. That's a sign that God is doing something. For Satan will do everything to blockade the real jewel of God, but it's coming forth. That's where I believe that many cults, as we see them rising over the nation, is really only a light post to say, look out, it'll be here soon. Wake up, everybody. See this, see that, see something else. See this opinion rise, this movement rise, this thing rise here. Don't worry about that. That's not the real. Satan is trying to mess up your thinking. He's trying to get you distracted. He's trying to get you to go out in the desert where somebody says, hey, he's in the secret chamber. He's in the desert chamber. Come out here and see him. No, hang on. God's going to do something real. And when God makes it known, he reveals it. He just does not explain it. He reveals it. Amen. Hallelujah. So we have nothing to fear, but we have something to pray for. We have nothing to fear, but we have something to pray for, and we should pray for revelation more than anything else. So this is a review quote, Brother Branham, in the fourth seal. He said, I believe in speaking in tongues. And I'm bringing this again because I love the way he says it very clearly. I believe in speaking in tongues and the gifts. I believe all those other things are all right. But just that in itself won't work. You know it won't work. And though I speak with the tongue of men and angels, so those things don't mean that you have the Holy Spirit. Going to a camp, having an experience, you know, having, you know, a gift or having visiting Jeffersonville or visiting some other place, you know, that doesn't mean that you have the Holy Spirit. Because there is a, come on, there's a message community, right? There's a message culture. Am I okay to say that? Is that all right?
Amen.
Somebody said they were going to get me a hat or a t-shirt that said, should I not have said that? And I think that would be appropriate, Jeff. I think that'd be good to have that. Because sometimes it's better, Sister Karen said this to me one time, it's better to apologize than to ask permission. So that's a private thing. But when he, listen to what he says, when he, the person, the immortal spirit of Christ becomes your personal savior and changes you and throws your views right into Calvary, into the word, something's happened. And no one will have to tell you about it. You'll know it when it happens. If I'm guilty of promoting anything at all in the world, it would be promoting an individual personal relationship between you and Christ. And I know that if you have this experience that he's talking about in the second paragraph right here, you will have a love for his word no matter who brought it.
Amen.
When the fivefold ministry breaks the bread of life to you, you'll love it and you'll say amen to it. And it'll, I don't know, the disciples, when Jesus was asking him, who do men say that I am? And they gave him different answers and so forth. And then he asked them again, he says, all these people have left me, will you leave me also? And the answer, let me paraphrase the answer. It's like, Lord, all these people have left, but we can't go because when you speak, something in me comes alive. When you speak, something in me reacts to what you say and the words you say. I can't explain it. I don't know how to repeat it. I can't get it from anywhere else. But when you speak, something inside of me, it just reacts to what you say. And I believe that's the same Holy Ghost that we have. I believe that's the same power that's within the presence of the Holy Spirit today. I believe that when God speaks and when you know it's God, there's something inside you that reacts to that. And it's not a mental thing. It's really a personal thing between you and Christ. And I'm telling you, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. Brother Bram, speaking on the mark of the beast, don't you believe it'll be a tattoo, a number on your head, or a tattoo, something on your hand? Don't never look for that. It'll be a boycott, certainly. No man buy and sell unless he belongs to the Confederation of Churches. It'll come like a union, unionizing the thing, bringing it down to unionized religion. Mark my word, it ain't far off, and you'll see it just around the corner. Just around the corner. Brother Bram gives another statement here, and another statement here, and he talks about the scripture that's related to the 666, and he talks about how that is a compilation of numbers that are made from the words vicarius filii dei, and that's what he said to do. He said, you take a piece of paper and you can add all those numbers together, and he said it comes out to 666, which is the number of a man. We find in Revelation chapter 13 and 18. Brother Bram said, now communists has nothing to do with this. He said, it's the church. You have to watch. It's not communists that would deceive the very elect. It's not communism that's going to deceive the very elect. It's not Donald Trump that's going to deceive the elect. Sorry. It's not even Fox News that's going to deceive the elect. I know it's the bride's channel, but listen. It's the church that'll deceive the very elect. That's quite a powerful statement, right? It's pretty powerful for 1965. We know they deny God, Antichrist. Sure, they are in principle, but they're not the Antichrist. The Antichrist is religious, very religious, and can quote the scripture and make it look so plain. In other words, they can explain it well. That doesn't mean it's a revelation from God. So tie it back to the Old Testament. I think we're clear, and I don't need to belabor the point. Back in the Jubilee, they marked people who responded to the right trumpet sound. They were free. And the people who denied it or rejected the call to freedom, they were marked. And Leviticus 25 explains that. That someone who hears the Jubilee and accepts it, they're gone. They're free to go. people who rejected that sound of the trumpet, they were marked in the ear. So the idea of marking a believer and an unbeliever is not new to God. It happened in the Garden of Eden, right? Didn't God mark Cain? Put a mark on Cain? This is not new, right? This is something here, but Brother Ram is bringing it right down, just telling us, thankfully, what it's not, but he's also telling us what it is. And so I need you to look at this quote. It has an asterisk up here in the beginning. Now, this is where I'm going to turn a corner. Now, I predicted many ways. He said that the tattoo, I've heard it predicted many different ways. The tattoo sign in your hand, sign in your head, I don't believe that's correct with Scripture. There's going to be a group of people that will be marked for their destiny in hell, and there's going to be people marked for their eternal destiny in heaven. And those two marks run side by side. It happens same time. And it's going to get so great, so pinching, just before the coming of the Lord. So pinching. Now, if I came down and pinched you, Noah, good morning. Come on up here, buddy. How are you doing? Why don't you turn around? Now, whether Noah knows it or not, he has a muscle right here. What's it called, Henry? Trapezius muscle. Henry knows he has one. And I can do this. I can pinch that. And now Noah knows exactly where that muscle is. God bless you, buddy. Love you. You can be seated. When we pinch something, it gets tight, right? It's a tightening down. Going to get real, so great, he said, pinching just before the coming of the Lord. And you're going to have one or the other. Look what he says. You're going to have one or the other, the mark or the seal of God. There'll be a boycott. There's going to be consequences, in other words, for having the mark of the beast. There's going to be a consequence for not having the seal of God. And he says, it's going to be so pinching. And I thought about that word, and I woke up one morning, and I was just thinking about the weekend. It was Thursday, and I woke up in the morning, and I was thinking of the word narrow. Narrow. And I got up first thing, before I had drank anything, before I had a tea. We always have tea in the morning. And before I did that, I looked up the word narrow. And one of the first places I found it was right here. Numbers 22. This is the story of Balaam. Balaam's got an invitation to curse God's people. Balak, the king, says, hey, I'll make it worth your while, buddy. Come on down. And I just need you to say a few things contrary to the children of Israel. I need to show them who's boss, but I need a prophet to do it. Will you come down and do it? I'm not sure. He's going to ask. I'll ask God because I'm a prophet after all. He asks God. God says no. Balak says, listen, buddy, I respect that, but I'll tell you what. We're going to double the offer. We're going to really make it worth your while. We're going to make this worth your while to come down and curse God's people. So now he doesn't go to God. Now he's looking at the reward. You know the story. He says, I'll go. He's going down the road on his donkey here. And the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall on this side and a wall on that side. Now this would be stone. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place. I submit to you this morning that this is the first use of the principle narrow, because God's telling Balaam, and this is what your Bible tells you in the King James Version, your way, this is what the angel says to Balaam in verse 32 of Numbers 22. The angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. Your way is perverse. And he says, I went out to stop you. And where I did it was in the narrow place. And I knew you had to pass this way, And I was there waiting for you because I'm watching over. Listen, I'm actively watching over the congregation of Israel. Lest you forget, Balaam, these are my people. And I'm here to tell you I'm protecting those people. I'm watching over them. And I need you to understand that our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I believe there are probably lots of times that we will never, ever know about until we get into eternity where God actively intervened on our behalf, whether it's diverting another car from our path, or whether it's preventing a terrible accident from taking place in some way, or whatever else, or maybe a turn in the economy. I don't know, but there's probably many times, and this is happening now only to Balaam. Nobody in the camp of Israel even knows this is going on. But God is actually intervening on behalf of the people that he calls his own and says, hey, they're my people and I'm protecting them. And I've got you in a narrow place here, buddy, and you're not going any further until I'm in control, because you need to know you're not in control. I submit to you that I believe that there are times when even when we would go to do something wrong, God will meet us in a narrow place. And I would say this, sometimes it's good for you to survey your catastrophes well. Learn from your catastrophes. Learn from your dilemmas. Because we need to find out whether that's God stopping me or whether that's the enemy hindering me. Hello? Because sometimes God will throw roadblocks in your pathway. But sometimes Satan will throw roadblocks in your pathway. And sometimes the only way to figure out which is for you to pray and say, Lord, are you trying to tell me something here? Are you trying to show me something here? Am I in a narrow place because this is where you decided to stop me from doing something really stupid? And maybe I'm not meant to marry that boy. Maybe I'm not meant to marry that girl. And all of a sudden, you know, there's somebody gets their foot crushed. And it's better if it's the boy-girl thing for you to get your foot crushed than your feelings crushed. Because the feeling of crushed feelings is not a pleasant feeling. But I'd rather have my feelings hurt than to have to stand in front of a divorce judge. Hello? I'm just saying. And I would advise you to, just based on the lesson this morning, that there are times when God, who knows what's best, and God who knows what the outcome is even before we get to it, that God is sometimes willing to throw himself into that narrow place and make sure that you don't proceed any further. Because after this incident here, Balaam realizes, whoa, I better hold off here. I better stop for a minute. I'll go back. And the angel says, no. God rarely ever sends anybody back. God very rarely stops and says, okay, we're going to go back and we're going to try it again. God very often doesn't do that. He says, now I'm going to send you, but I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put you up in front of Israel, but you're only going to be able to say what I put in your mouth. So, hey, guess what? I'm going to use this for my glory, not yours. And guess what? You're not going to have a choice. So God will take things like that and he'll use it for his glory. And this is what happens here. Balaam goes and King Balaam, he was having a bad day. He's having a real bad day after that because the opposite actually happened. And I'm saying to you this morning that sometimes you need to look at your catastrophes well, your narrow places well. Because God may be proving something to you. God may be stopping you. God may be changing your path. God may be wanting for you to go at this a different way. Yeah. Hello? Sure. Those are important things. Yeah. Now, Brother Bram tells this interesting little story here just as an example in questions and answers. And he said there was a bunch of guys who were sitting around the bar. And he said one night, question came up about church and Christians. One of the old drunks said, well, there ain't no such thing as Christians anymore. A bunch of hypocrites. You see them out here smoking and drinking, doing the same things that we do, and they call themselves Christians. And this one drunk raised up and said, hey, just a minute. There's one that I know about. Who is it? It's my wife. And she'd become salty enough that he was catching it all the time. See what he says? She'd been living the life, and she'd been living in such a way that got him thirsty, and now he was catching it. And he's the guy. The other guy said, "Well, I bet if she was put to a squeeze," he said, "No. She's a real Christian. She's got the real thing. I'll prove it to you." And then he sets up a scenario, and you probably know the story. He says, "Let's all go into my house, and we're going to pretend we're really slop drunk. And we're just gonna go in and get her to make some food for us." And he says, "Follow me, watch what I do here." And he says, "I want you to just tag along." So they go into the house, and the wife meets him there. And he says, "Woman, bring me some food here. Bring all my friends food." So she starts cooking up eggs and bacon and, getting it ready, puts it on the table. As soon as he sees it, he slams the plate off the table and he says, "Hey, I don't want this kind of slop. I want real food." And they all did the same thing and slammed the dishes on the floor. And they walk out and say, "We're out of here." And Brother Branham said that the husband looked back as he was leaving the house. And he said she was standing there with a broom and she was just sweeping up the broken dishes and singing, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone?" And she wasn't upset, she wasn't angry at all. And just sweeping up everything and just maintained the right attitude. Let me tell you something. Real Christians are not afraid of a squeeze. Real Christians are not afraid of a squeeze. Because a squeeze doesn't change anything about us, right? You've heard Brother Branham talk about the squeeze, right? Right? You've heard Brother Branham talk about the squeeze. Here it is here. Now, I'm going to say something to you that I haven't said all along, and that is the thing we've looked forward to for so long. The third pull has now been vindicated, and I'm sure you know what it is. The third pull is the opening of the Word to reveal the mysteries that have hidden behind there, right? And all those thunders and so on. Remember, there will never be an impersonation of that. It's in existence. And right now, at this time, it just happened so it could identify its presence among you, but not used in a great way until a council begins to tighten up. And we're not there. We're not there. The Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything can be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, pinching, right, Noah? Yeah. When that pinching comes. Now, interestingly enough, this is the only information Brother Branham gives us about the squeeze that's coming. He doesn't say when the squeeze comes, really, fully, this is what it's going to be like, and this is what's going to happen, and this is what's going to be like in the U.S. of A. And he doesn't say that at all. He just says this one statement here, that when the time comes, the squeeze comes down, you'll see what you've seen temporarily manifested in its fullness, in its power. So in other words, God's going to respond to this tightening. God's going to respond to this pinching time in his own way. And it'll be through the Word. Because that's what he's referring to about the third pull. It's in existence now. And he says, and it will happen. There'll be no impersonation of that. It'll be the real thing. And he says, so when this squeeze comes down, this is what's going to happen. Can you give me just a couple of more minutes? All right, let's go back to our text then in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is speaking right after Matthew chapter 6, where he ends the chapter by saying, "Take no thought for your bread and your..." It's like the animals, he said, they sow not, neither do they reap. "But your heavenly Father knoweth that they have need of those things. And you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Chapter 7, which is a continuation of the Sermon on the Mount, he goes right into this and he says, "Now, judge not that ye be not judged." And he says, now listen, this is not about you judging everybody else and looking at how everybody else is doing, or looking at the church and seeing how the church is doing, or looking at all the other churches in the message and seeing how they're doing, or how they're doing something. Jesus is saying, we're bringing this down to a personal level now. You know what I mean when I do this, right? This relationship between me and you. You seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, This has not got to do with what Jeffersonville is doing or what Happy Valley is doing or what Edmonton is doing. And this has nothing to do with that. So judge not. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. This is between you and God. You need to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Make that your priority, right? That's the priority. That's the priority. And so he goes on down through chapter 7 and he talks like this. And he's then in verse 7 he says, "And ask and it shall be given unto you, and knock and you shall find, and everyone that asketh receiveth." So here's the invitation. The invitation is enter in at the straight gate. It's not a command. Jesus, in the language here, Jesus is not saying you have to go this way. He's saying before you there are two roads. In front of you there are two roads. One is a wide road, and that road leads to destruction. Unfortunately, that road is easy. It's wide. There's nothing narrow about that road. But there is another road. And I'm inviting you, Jesus says, to look at both of these roads. And he's saying that straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that are going to make that choice. Few there be that really want that. Is it easier to take the wide road, the road that most people are on, the road of least resistance? It is the road well traveled. It is the road where you don't have to give up much to go down it. You don't have to sacrifice much. You don't have to give a whole lot to go down the wide road. You basically follow everyone who is going down the wide road. But Jesus is saying that there is another road, and that road is narrow, and it's the one that leads to life. And that road is narrow. It's hard to go down that narrow road, and I'll tell you why. Because you go against the flow when you go down that narrow road. You go against the crowd. You go against the multitude. You go against the world. And another thing about that narrow road is that it requires self-denial. And it requires transformation, because God wants you to... That road, if it's going to lead to life, and we know that life is not... The life he's talking about is not in this world and in this body. The life he's talking about is the life hereafter. It is the life in his kingdom. And we've got to be transformed to go to that kingdom, and that transformation is hard. Listen, it's hard for you to think about doing things differently, thinking things differently. It's hard for us to think about changing our ways, and it's hard for us to think about, maybe I'm not so right. Maybe I'm not so maybe I'm not so smart as what I think. Because I always believed it this way. But I don't know, maybe somebody explained it to you. And you've got an explanation instead of a revelation. I don't know. And so now, maybe you need to look at some things in your life. I hope over the last month or so in talking about this particular subject in Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom, you've taken a little bit of time to look at your life and say, you know, am I really seeking first the kingdom? Am I, what are my choices? What kind of choices am I making? Am I just living to live the easy life? Am I just following along everybody in the message and just saying, well, you know, if everybody's doing it, it must be okay. If they all believe the message, it's okay. Listen, it's not about what everybody else is doing. It's what about what God wants for you. It's about this relationship between you and God. And you finding the will of God for yourself and your time of life and where you are and what God wants you to be doing. And that may be contrary to what other people are preaching or saying or whatever else. But I will tell you this, that the last thing I'd say about the narrow way is that when Jesus invited us to walk with him, he invited us into a war. This is not anything less than a spiritual war. This is warfare where demons await. And demons are not far off. They're close by. And we can give demons openings. We can give bad spirits openings. We're surrounded by darkness living in Satan's Eden, right? Come on, somebody say amen. We're surrounded by darkness. And God does God wants you to make, he wants you to make the right choice, but he's not in the business of forcing us down the narrow path. He wants you to choose that narrow path. He wants you to decide, I'm going to take the Lord's way. I'm going to take the path with the Lord's despised few. That's what I'm going to do. But I got good news for you. Jesus said, I am the door. Straight, if narrow is the gate, hey, don't worry. Jesus said, I am that gate. I am that door. And if you'll enter this way, and he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out and find pastures. There's good things on the other side of that. But don't worry, I am that door, so don't you worry about that. And then he also says, I am the way and the truth and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by me. So in other words, I'm not sending you through the door. I'm taking you through that narrow place. I'm here to take you through that narrow place and to bring you into the other side of what's on the other side of the narrowest place here. But some of you are reluctant, and I know some of you are reluctant. Some of the people who you'll hear, you know, online and so on, are reluctant to say, well, I don't like the thought of sacrifice, and I don't like the idea of squeezing, and I don't like what Brother Bram said in 1963 there when the squeeze comes down. I don't want to hear about that because we don't want to have any discomfort. Sorry. I'm not trying to make you uncomfortable, and I'm not trying to ruin your day. I'm just saying I got to tell you what he said. I have to tell you what the tapes say. I have to tell you what the truth is. And the truth is that everybody on earth is going to go down one road or the other. You've got a choice. Amen. This is not like, will I be born again? I'll go down that door. Let me tell you, I believe this is for Christians. I believe it's for people like us who are going to want to go all the way. And in the next steps or the next phase of your experience, there are two paths you can go. And the one path is a narrow way. And I say, get ready, because it's going to be pretty narrow. But I'm not afraid because of these two scriptures right here. I am the door and I am the way. So I'm good. It's the only time Jesus taught this, and except in Luke chapter 13, he says the same principle here. But I want you to look at something. There was a man who was in Brother Branham's life, appeared in Brother Branham's life. His name was Danny Henry. And he was son of a famous woman. They just did a documentary about her recently. And kind of a little bit of a mysterious woman. But Danny Henry was well known in the Pentecostal circles. And Danny Henry was a man who attended Brother Branham's meetings. And some of you may know this story already. Let me just recap it. He's over in the Garden Tomb in Israel. And it's on the edge of Jerusalem. Gordon's Calvary is on top of the hill. The tomb where Jesus lay is right below, not far. You can walk between the two, just like they took Jesus' body and walked it down, put it in Joseph of Arimathea's grave. And you can go in that grave today. I've been in it several times. My wife has been in it, I think, 18 or 19 times. When Danny Henry walked out of the tomb, he said, a voice spoke to him and said, pick up some stones. And he picked up a couple of rocks. And he had collected rocks, like Brother Branham. He collected rocks. And Danny Henry took these stones and he just kind of held on to them, put them in his pocket. And he said the thought came to him afterwards, why don't you make a pair of cufflinks for Brother Branham out of that? He said, that's a good idea. So he took the rocks home, polished them, put them in his tumbler, polished them up. And when he did and looked at the finished product of those stones, he said there was quartz on both sides, but in the middle of it, he said there was a red line that ran, just a red line that ran right down the middle of those two stones. And he gave Brother Branham those two stones. And in a setting of cufflinks. Brother Branham wore cufflinks. And he gave them to Brother Branham and said, I found these outside the tomb. Something told me to pick up the stones. I did. And to make you a set of cufflinks, here they are. So a little later on, Brother Branham's at a meeting. And at the end of the meeting, Danny Henry, same guy, he comes up to Brother Branham, takes him by the shoulders, and prophesies in Brother Branham's face. He speaks in tongues. And the tongue he's speaking in is French. And there's a guy who's standing there who listens to this, happened to work at the hotel. It was a cafeteria. Clifton's cafeteria is where it happened. And he understood French. And he said, "That's French. I know what that is." And then there was an old woman who was there. And she understood. She was from Louisiana. And she understood French as well. And she said, "Yes, that's French." And then there was a third person who came after. His name was Victor Ledoux. And Victor Ledoux happened to be an interpreter for the UN in the French language. And he said, "That is French." And he came to Brother Branham with the prophecy written out on a piece of paper. And Brother Branham says, "Stop, all of you, don't talk to one another and don't say another thing. All of you write down what the prophecy just was." And they did. That woman sat down, and the guy who worked at the hotel, he sat down. They gave Brother Branham three pieces of paper. The three pieces of paper were identical. And this is partly what they said. "Because thou hast chosen this straight and narrow way, the harder way, you've done it at your own choosing. But what a glorious decision you've made, because it is my way. And this in itself is that which will bring to pass and make and bring to pass the tremendous victory in the love divine." Now, here's Brother Branham telling this story in 1965, and he said, something told Danny Henry, "Make Brother Branham pair of cufflinks." Second paragraph, "A bloodstone color, like dripping blood, which straight, narrow line, went right through the middle of that stone." And the prophecy said, the straight and blood, just exactly what his prophecy said, the straight and narrow way. Oh, and he said, I'm glad. He said, "I'm glad to walk this straight and narrow way." Amen. The way of the gospel. Amen. The way of the word with our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Last screen. It's my last screen. He said, sometimes it's God pushing you to do something. And he said, my ministry is built to the place where nobody can say a word against it. In other words, the supernatural things that have happened, they're supernatural. And he said, the things I've taught are according to the Bible. So he says, you know, this ministry has been built on solidly on the word. "But from henceforth, let me first speak to you in the name of the Lord, because I must go out by faith. And I do the best of my choosing, then go do it, because it hasn't been wrong. It's because I've waited till he told me to go do it." So it wasn't me, it was him. But you see, Paul got between straits one time. And many times God has did things or let his servants do it. We know that was mistakes, but we know that human beings can make mistakes, but God can make no mistake. So in other words, he's just like the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "I get betwixt straits sometimes. I get into a spot," and he says, "you know, it's better for me to go and be in heaven and be in my eternal reward, but," he said, "it's for you, it's edifying if I stay." And Paul said, I'm between two things. And Brother Branham was the same way. This is in these stories that the screens I've just showed you were 1965, and he's realizing this is the end of his days, the end of his ministry. And he's talking about quitting the field and talking about going and doing something else. And he's wrestling with that because he's got, as I've said to you on Wednesday nights, he's struggling with a bit of a complex. People don't listen to him. People don't want to hear the gospel. They don't want to change. You know what? They're all Christians. They're all going down the same direction, but a bunch of them are on the wide road. Right? They got a wide road, and they're all walking down it. And yet there's a narrow road over here. I don't know. Maybe the people on the wide road have got the gospel explained to them. I don't know. That's what they got, an intellectual understanding of the gospel. And it hasn't dropped from their head to their heart yet. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying. Because they're all walking down the road. But the most of the people are on the wide road. And here's Brother Branham. And he's wrestling with this. He said, just like the Apostle Paul did this. And he said, but now if I get in the field preaching, the way I do, I set up my meetings and go ahead and get things lined up. And surely, if this is in itself a tremendous thing that will bring to pass and make come to pass a tremendous victory in the love divine, then it's divine love, which is God. And it takes the love of God to dash out there on the front line, stand in the gap for the people. Come on, bring it together now. Here's Balaam going to do a bad thing against Israel. What does God do? Out of love for his people, he dashes out on the front line and says, no, I ain't going any further, buddy. But then Jesus gives us the invitation in Matthew 7, 13 and 14 here. And look, when it comes down to it, you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what you want to do. And you're going to find that there's two roads. One is a wide one, and the other one's a narrow one. And few there be that'll find that one. Few there'll be that will want to go down that road because it's not the easier path. And when Brother Branham got those cufflinks and he looked at that and he said, there's a little strip of that red running down to the middle of the rock there. And he said, that's what I've done. I've taken the narrow way. Now, let me, forgive me for doing this, but we don't need to go out and manufacture cufflinks with a red streak in them and sell them to everybody. Are we okay? We don't need to, just like we don't need to chop up Brother Branham's floor in his office and give you bits of wood. I got news for you. That's not going to make you more spiritual. I'm not being sarcastic here. I'm just saying that this is his story. This is his testimony of choosing the narrow way. And because he chose it, God wanted to vindicate to him, you've chosen the right path. And it is my way. You've done it, Brother Branham. You've done it. And the cufflinks are just a little symbol that you've done the right thing. You've gone down that narrow way. Look, I don't need cufflinks, right? I don't use them. And so it's not the cufflinks. Can we get our minds off the trinkets for a minute and get the message of what Brother Branham's telling us here? I chose the narrow way. How about you? This is not Brother Branham in 1933 on the Ohio River when he's converted. This is Brother Branham in 1965 choosing the narrow way. If you're going to go any further, it's going to get narrower. It's going to get more difficult. It's going to get more straight. This is not Brother Branham at the beginning. This is Brother Branham at the end. This is not us at the beginning here. You're all, most of you all are believers. I mean, down to some very young people, we've been baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think it's great. But now, for all of you that maybe have been serving the Lord a long time, and know you know the message, and you know the routine here, it's not, I get baptized once and I'm okay, God's going to just bring me through. There are choices along the way. And I think part of this comes under the umbrella of Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom, because you got to be seeking the kingdom all the way right to the very end of this journey. It's not just once I made a decision for the kingdom, but all the way down, there are choices in front of me now. There are easy paths and harder paths. There are wider roads and narrow roads. There's easy journeys, and there's, you know, journeys where I'm going to be misunderstood. But I'm willing to take the narrow path. And I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to take that narrow path? Are you willing to say, I'll do that. In my heart, I want to make a commitment to you, Lord, and say, I want to take the narrow path. No matter what it is, and no matter what, people may misunderstand me, they may misrepresent me, they may put things on the internet about me or whatever else, but you know what? That's really inconsequential. What's important in my life at this point is making sure I'm on the narrow path. That's what's critical. That's what's important. I want to just lay aside all the other stuff. And there'll always be stuff. There'll always be stuff out there. The farther we go, there'll be more stuff. Because we live in a world that's getting darker and darker. And there are bad angels out there. And they don't want you to be making the right choices. And they're telling you, it's all right. You do that. It's all right. Go that way. It's all right. Follow the crowd. It's all right. You know, it's just much easier on you here. You're old. You know, you'd be all right. Go this way. But hey, you got liars all around you, in other words. You got liars all around you here. But what you want to be trained to listen to and sensitive to is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you, saying that there is a path. That path is narrow. But I want you to know, I am that way, and I am that gate, and I will see you through no matter what you go through on that narrow path. I'll be right there. Am I making sense to you this morning? Let's have our musicians just gently step up here. I'd like to pray with you this morning that every one of us would have a resolve in our hearts. That even if you're old and you've been in the way a long time, that, you know, there are corners we turn, there are scenes we see. I realize this is, you know, for Brother Branham, you would think all the decisions were over with. Or you would think, like with Abraham, all the decisions were over with. And God says to him, hey, take Isaac and go out up on top of the mountain here. We're going to offer a sacrifice. That's not at the beginning of Abraham's journey. That's years after Isaac is born. And then God says to Abraham, now I know you love me. And I'm thinking, there's a purpose for the pinching. There's a purpose for that squeezing time. And if things are getting narrower, in reality, it's probably a good thing. I don't doubt in our world, in America, our economy is going to create a pinching feeling. I would think we're already feeling that. And I don't think it's going to probably ease up too quickly. But you know what? Everybody's going through that. But for the bride of Christ, they're looking at something a little higher. And there's a narrow way and a broad way. But I'm going to take the narrow way. And even though it's hard, I know I could go that way, but even though it's hard, I'm going to take this way because he said he'd never leave me nor forsake you.
Amen.
And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Amen.
And you're better off on that narrow path.
Yes,
and for Brother Branham, that's his testimony. That's what he experienced. And God was saying to him, you took the narrow path. And it was my way. You did the right thing. I love you for that. And I'm going to bless the balance of your ministry and your days on the earth here. What path are you going to take? Let's stand to our feet. What path? What path are we going to choose to take? What path? What options lay before me? What options lay before me? I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Sing it now. Sing that chorus. I surrender all. Yes, I surrender. To surrender everything in order to take this way. Common sense doesn't tell us to take this way, but there's something in us that's pulling us to a kingdom. And remember, it's not a demand now, it's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice. I give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Yes, I give myself away so you can use me. Here I am. And here I am. Heads together, I'd like to pray with you. How many of you would desire to go down that narrow path? Heavenly Father, our hands, our hearts are raised, Lord, before you. And in humility, Lord, we just say we are a people who desire to take your way. How blessed we are, Lord, to even have the choice in front of us, because many people, they don't even see that narrow way. They're unaware even that there is another way. But you've shown us, Lord. You've shown us through the scripture, and you've shown us through example how there is a path that your people have access to. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would help us as we desire, Lord, to be sensitive to you and leaning upon your arms of understanding, and searching and seeking the mind of Christ, seeking first the kingdom of God, with all that is within us. And Lord, we might present ourselves as living sacrifices to you and say, transform our thinking, transform our minds, transform our ways, Lord. We pray for our families and loved ones. We pray for people, Lord, that maybe they just show no desire. They just want to take the easy way. And Lord, we pray for them and ask that you'd have mercy on them as well. And Lord, we're asking in Jesus' name that you give us the strength and the desire, Lord, to follow you, the path you've chosen for us. Your ways are right. Your ways are higher than our ways. They're greater. And Lord, we don't need to go search for some truth or some message or some end time event, Lord. You've displayed yourself. You've manifested yourself in so many ways. Your timing is always perfect and your ways are clear. We are a people, Lord, who desire to be led by the Spirit of God. And we desire, Lord, to be led by revelation, by inspiration, rather than just by explanations of people. Lord, come. We don't need to invent a new prophet or a new message, Lord. It's not in our heart at all. We just want to follow you, Lord. I pray in this atmosphere that, Lord, you'd minister to those who are sick today, need a touch. I think of my own brother Mark and ask that you'd be merciful to him, Lord, and guide him through the process tomorrow. Sister Angie's brother, Brother Mike's mother, and Lord, so many others that are just needing a touch from you. We pray, Lord, for your grace to be ministered to them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. For the people here, Lord, that are bowed before you, you know their needs. And the people who are listening online, and Lord, you always know all about it, and you always have a better way. Oh, God, may we submit ourselves to you now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say I'm your friend. You are my desire. Else will do, and nothing else could take your place to build the warmth of your grace and help me find the way, bring me back to you. My desire, nothing else could take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Oh, help me find the way.
me close and draw me close to you and never let me go. I'd lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Oh, no one else will do. And nothing else could take your place to feel the warmth of your embrace. Oh, help me find the way, bring me back to you.
God who cares about what we go through, Lord. You're a God who cares and has invested so much in bringing your bride home. Now, Lord, our last steps seem to be along that narrow way. And in Jesus' name, I pray you'd give us the wisdom, courage, faith to be able to step down through that narrow way. Speak to us, Lord, I pray. May we not fear what lays ahead. But Lord, our only fear should be missing what you have to say. And so in Jesus' name, I commit the people to you now with all of their needs. We thank you and love you and ask thy blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let's sing it again. You are beautiful
beyond description. Too marvelous for words. Too wonderful for comprehension. Like nothing ever seen or heard. Who can grasp your infinite wisdom? Who can fathom the depths of your love? You are beautiful beyond description. Majesty throne above, thy stand I stand on you. Oh, I stand in all of you. Holy God, to you, oh, all praises you. I stand. Again, I stand in awe. I stand. Oh, I stand in awe. Holy God, all praises to you. I stand. My heart like you. He's touched your heart. Why don't you just lift your hands and praise? I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Oh, there is none like you, Jesus. For no one else could touch my heart like you do. And I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Yes, Lord, there is none. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. One more time. Oh, there is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. And I could search for all eternity, Lord. Find there is none like you. Let's sing that song together. You deserve the glory. Key of G, musicians. You deserve the glory and the honor.
This morning, although you're singing like you want to stay around, and that's just wonderful to be in His presence. There's no place like it. There's healing just in the building because of His presence. There's good things can happen in His presence. We're thankful for that. Sister Megan, we'll be praying for your friend Emily, and just trust that the Lord will undertake for her. And we want to remember Lincoln as well, listening today. And we want to just pray that the Lord will heal him and touch him. And let's be in prayer one for another, because we need it. We need each other. And may God bless you this morning as we go. So let's sing this this morning as we leave today. And may God bless you. Thank you for coming and being here and being a part of things. We appreciate it. And I know that God will bless you for making the effort. So may God bless you as you go this morning.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent any more than man. You are not a God in need of anything we can give by your plan. That's just the way it is. You are God alone from before time began. You are on your throne. You are God alone. And right now, in the good times and bad, you are on your God whose power none can contain. You're the only God whose name and praise will never end. You're the only God who's worthy of everything we can give. You are God, and that's just the way it is. You are God alone.
on your heart as you go.